Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Introvert Comedy with Paul Schneider. He's an emerging comic who's been performing his unique brand of humor across the Southeast. He was a finalist in the Gene Robertson Humor Competition and recently won the Jokes Out Loud I'm Ready competition. He's a lovable introvert that has performed with Dusty Slay, Carlos Mencia, Sean Jones, and many others. Welcome to the show, Paul. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
This is exciting. I just loved your submission that you sent to us, that video submission. And my husband and I couldn't stop laughing. So we're super excited to bring you on our X2 comedy show coming up in December.
Yeah, I'm excited to come up.
Yeah. I know. It's really impressive. This is your material and watching you perform, really impressive. This is just year three for you, and you're already staying very busy doing shows. Was doing stand-up always a dream of yours, or did you happen upon it?
A little bit of both. I wanted to do it like when I was 12.
Wow.
Felt like I was ready. And then took like a 30-year break immediately after that because I didn't have the courage to actually try it.
Okay.
So it wasn't until there was somebody that I work with that also does comedy, and I finally broke down and said, "Can I get you a cup of coffee or something? I'd like to pick your brain about this." And so she was gracious enough to do that. And we sat down and we kind of talked about comedy. And I said, I've always wanted to do it, but I just, I don't have material. I don't know how to write material. I don't know how to do any of this. And she said, "Well, have you ever thought about taking a class in comedy?" And I said, I didn't know that existed. And so she kind of pointed me in the direction of a comedy club in Charlotte that did a comedy class. And after coffee, I texted my wife. I was like, "Did you know there's a class?" And then like 10 minutes later, she texted me back and she said, "You're registered."
Oh my gosh. So
she kind of pushed me out the door and she was like, "You're going to go do it." So yeah, I did it. I was ready to quit after week one. My friend who told me about the class, she talked me off the ledge. She said, "Go back in week two. It's going to be better. It's going to get better." And once I finally kind of got a little bit more comfortable, I was smitten. So it was no stopping after that.
That's how I started too, by taking comedy classes. I actually was sitting down as we were going around introducing ourselves to each other and having a serious war within my mind, because I was thinking I could just leave right now before I say a word and no one would know or care.
Yeah.
We could just be done with this. Yeah. And I could just say I showed up the first day and it's over.
at the end of the first week, they had us get on stage and we had to do an improv game. And I would have rather have died than participate in the improv game. And the instructor finally, after like 10 minutes, was like, "We're not leaving until everyone has participated." And like everyone was looking at me and I was like, "Oh my gosh." Because I need time to process what I'm going to say. I can't just say it, just spurt it out. So
right.
Improv was, I was ready to quit. I was like, "If this is what comedy is like, this is not for me."
I wonder if that form of improv is something they teach all the instructors. It's not that we played an improv game, but we were asked each of us to come up and spend 10 minutes just riffing about our day, which is a form of improv. And I'm an extrovert, and that still horrified me. Yeah. Like I said, I was ready to run out of the first class.
I'm glad I didn't quit, but my goodness, it was a rough start.
Now, how was your class structured? Ours was, I believe it was, we met once a week for 4 weeks for 3 hours. And then our fifth time was actually a public performance, in front of a full room. Did you have something similar set up with your class?
Yeah, ours was essentially the same, but one more week. So it was 6 weeks. And that last week was a show where you invited everybody, and it was, you were supposed to do your first 5 minutes.
How did that go?
I thought it went well. They pretty much told us, like, you can't fail at graduation. Like,
right.
Everybody is there to be supportive of their friend, and they're obviously going to be supportive of you. Like, you're not going to get heckled. Everyone's going to cheer like crazy. Even if you forget your joke, like, people are going to applaud you just because you're up there. So then they said, like, the next time you the first open mic you go to, that's reality. So it wasn't the graduation part of it. It was like, you're going to get off the stage on cloud nine. You're going to be ready to quit your job and tour the country. And then they said, just go to an open mic the next day and that'll bring you back to reality. So it's pretty true.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, how was that transition from?
Me and a couple of the other classmates, we happened to have picked, I think the worst, potential open mic in Charlotte that we could have gone to. it was pretty brutal. We were just these new newbies coming in. Nobody was going to look at us or laugh it was tough.
It was a nice baptism by fire.
It was for sure.
Well, I think you've done a really great job right out of the gate branding yourself with the introvert comedy. It's really wonderful. It matches your personality. Did you come up with that branding yourself, or did you get some help with it? Maybe from your office mate?
I chose it, and I've waffled back and forth because I know a lot of people, especially on Instagram, will just use their name and then comedy right after it. But for some reason, like, my last name Snyder, people can't spell it. So I was like, I don't know that I want to put that in the name, because people for some reason just they'll just spell it wrong. So I was like, well, I'll just choose a different word. So I was like, I knew a lot of my material that I start off with in a set is about being an introvert. So I guess I was just thinking of, more of the marketing branding. I was like, well, I'll give it a shot. And so I went with it, but I do waffle back and forth whether it will stay the long term.
Yeah, the long haul.
I'm not sure.
Time will tell. That's another question I was curious about, your material being on, being an introvert. What are some of the other bits you have? Is it just mostly introvert or more?
I usually start with that because there is a level of discomfort when I get on the stage. And so I want to dispel like why that is, because I'm not high energy when I'm on the stage. And if I follow somebody who is high energy, I kind of need to be able to reset the bar. And so sometimes I'll just do maybe two introvert jokes and then move on. Sometimes I'll do, the first 2, 3, 4 minutes of just being an introvert, but I'm still trying to find my footing of what that material is going to be. I know I go clean. I want my kids to be able to come see me, on shows. So I need to be clean. I have found that I can't make jokes about my own parents yet. They need to be dead first. They're not always appreciate everything. So that's still a little bit off the table.
We've got some time for that, hopefully.
Yeah. I have ventured into talking more about being married, about, you know, kind of the dynamics of my wife and I and how we relate and stuff. So it's venturing out. But a lot of it is mostly self-deprecating humor, things that I'm not good at. I've got a number of bits about why I wouldn't be good, like at crime, or why I'm not, why I can't figure drugs out. So it's a lot of just kind of playing the kind of dumber character. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I have a few of those. I would be bad at this.
Yeah.
A bits too. One of them, I love my assassin bit. It's a lot of fun. Now, you mentioned you're married and you have kids. Is your wife, you're talking about that relationship dynamic. Is she an extrovert or is she an introvert also?
No, we're both pretty introverted. So
okay.
Conflict just stays low because neither one of us have the energy to be confrontational. So we'll just both hold a grudge, you know. We're just
passive aggressive.
It's too much effort to actually layer cards on the table. Yeah, so we're not gonna do that.
I like that. And you mentioned you have kids too. How many kids do you have, and what are their ages?
Two boys, 18 and 11. Although in all my jokes, they're not that age.
What age are they?
16 and 9.
Okay.
It worked for that age, and then they've gotten older, but the joke works better if they stay the same age. So they haven't aged.
Are they proud of that?
I don't know that they've figured out the math. I don't know that they've figured out that they're not the age that I say they are. But yeah, they handle it pretty well. And I ask them before I write a joke about them, I make sure that they're cool with it.
That reminds me. So being an introvert, I know your kids know about your comedy, but when the rest of your friends and family found out you were doing stand up, were they surprised, and have they come to some of your shows?
Family wasn't surprised at all. They kind of knew.
Yeah.
Like when I told them I was going to try it, it did not surprise them. People that I work with weren't quite sure what was going on. So that's been a little bit of a surprise. And even the way I handle myself on stage and the way I handle myself in the office, there's a level, it's different. So a lot of them have seen me and were like, wow, did not see that coming. Based on the way I just interact in the office and the way I kind of keep to myself. So that's been surprising to them. But friends outside of work and family were not really surprised.
That's great. Yeah. What do they think about you doing all of this then?
I think it's less surprised that I did it, but more surprised that I'm still doing it.
Really?
Yeah. I think they thought like it would be, you know, a bucket list sort of thing. Like you do the class, you do the graduation, that's cool, but that it would fizzle. Especially then when COVID hit and everything. But so some of them have been surprised that it's, you know, that I continue to do it, that, you know, it's opened some doors to travel outside of Charlotte. So I think they're excited.
What is it that you do for work, by the way? Every time I'm texting and chatting with you, you're traveling for work. What's your day job?
I do travel. I work for a TV network.
Oh, really?
Okay. I'm a creative director in a creative department, design department. So we do a lot of photo shoots in rural places.
So what is it? Are you working on a particular show or?
the last time we talked, we were in an undisclosed area for a competition show. And so we were taking photos of all the contestants and the host and the area that we were shooting. I can't say any of this, but
okay, you're right.
But the area that we were shooting and stuff. So, and then we bring all that back and we create all the social media stuff that goes out when the show is announced and as the contestants get whittled down and stuff like that. So,
oh wow,
we get a couple of days of just being with the contestants before it all starts and shoot them, and then that was that particular project. And yeah, so we do shows, we do movies, do a little bit of everything.
How long have you been a creative director? Yeah, it sounds fun.
This is year six.
Have you always been in the TV entertainment industry?
No, I started in the church world.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
I was a youth pastor for 10 years. And, you know, obviously that segues right into graphic design.
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, I mean, once my our oldest was born, it kind of, I knew the end was in sight. I didn't want to be my own child's youth pastor or anything. So I just kind of knew that there was an end coming. So then it was like, okay, well, what else do I know how to do? And I knew how to use Photoshop. And so that kind of ended up in a long way segueing to entertainment.
That's quite the journey.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your TV entertainment connections have helped with you landing some comedy gigs or not?
Not yet, because I usually do not tell people that I do comedy still.
Okay.
I don't have that level of confidence that like that I'm good enough to actually tell people. Now, if somebody says something like, I heard you do comedy, like, I'll talk about it.
Okay.
But I'm not just going to, like, whittle that into conversation. But if somebody brings it up, yeah, I'll say where I've got a show coming up or something. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't feel like I'm there yet to just kind of.
Hey, hook me up.
Yeah.
Let's do a comedy competition. Somebody can take pictures of me for once.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. Well, some shows, they use, comedy shows, live shows, they use music to introduce the comedian. Now, if they did that for you, what would be your song that you would enter stage on?
I have tried a couple times. There's a song by Andy Mineo that's called Coming in Hot.
Okay.
And they've used that in like some Sprite commercials and some other NBA type things. And I've used that a couple times, and just kind of my first line is basically saying I'm not coming in hot. that I am at most coming in lukewarm. Just okay. it helps me, like, once again, just kind of set the bar for who I am, what the energy level is going to be. I know a lot of people like really use really upbeat, really hyped music, and I'd kind of use that music, but then like flip it to I'm not coming in hot. So
bring those expectations down.
Yeah,
people.
Like, boom, let's bring this to the floor. And then we'll build back up from there.
Yeah, I've heard Nate Bargatze talk about that, because he's not a high energy comedian either. Yeah. So he's talked about, I've heard him on podcast interviews talking about that experience and kind of helping the audience shift their expectations, because he's not going to be coming in hot either.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is the craziest, scariest, or most awesome thing that's happened to you in comedy to date?
Scariest, like, there's been some bar shows that have definitely aged me a little bit.
A few more gray hairs than you used to have.
I mean, it's just that there's been shows that, you know, you'll drive an hour, you know, into the country to go do, and then your hour drive back, you're like, I don't know why I did that. That was horrible. You know, because yeah, I have a joke about in the first year of my comedy that I only made $49 doing comedy. And, you know, somebody at a bar, you know, kind of said like, that's $48 too much. And it's like, well, that's hurtful. Like, I didn't need you to say that. That was, you know,
we need you to
an hour drive home thinking, you know, he might be right. That may have been, I think he's onto something. So those are ones that, like, you know, I guess make you stronger, they say.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think most awesome was the, this competition this summer in Greenville, South Carolina at the Comedy Zone, to win that, because I didn't bring anybody. And it was an audience. It was like a three round thing. And, in the finals, you know, there were judges, but it was an audience vote. And, you know, to win that without bringing anyone, I was pretty happy about that.
You should be very proud of that, because that can be huge, having all your people there doing the voting. That's big. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely did not think I'd win, because I knew other people had brought a good number of people. So, that was pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. How long was that set?
That was a 10-minute finals. Okay. I think there were maybe seven of us in the finals. And so there was a audience vote, a judge's vote, and a comics vote. And I took two out of the three. So it's pretty happy.
You should be happy. Now, what would you say is the most important lesson you've learned so far?
I don't want to say stay in my lane, but stop watching everybody else's lane, I guess. That where I am on my journey is not necessarily where somebody else is on their journey. And, you know, the comparison game is tough. Mm-hmm. You know, the why did somebody get that gig and I didn't get that gig, you know, it will eat you alive if you let it. So the same woman that encouraged me to do the class has also been the same that has basically said, put your head down, do your thing, stop worrying about what everyone else's thing is. You know, and your success or lack of success, stop comparing it to everyone else's. That's a huge lesson.
I really like that. That's a good word. Because I think we end up where we're supposed to be with the voice that we can give it to the world, and the opportunities just come our way if we just let ourselves go with the flow.
Well, you can drive yourself crazy worrying about why your calendar is full or not full, or worrying about, well, maybe my jokes should be more like this person's jokes. And, you know, that's, the world doesn't need another that person. You know, the world needs what your comedy is.
Yes. And I think that resonates with the audiences much, much more, because they can read whether or not the comedian's being authentic to themselves. And that's the connection that we make with the audience, and vice versa, is when they get to see you on stage and they can identify with that, neither their spouse or partner or family member or somebody at work or their neighbor. And that's where they make that connection and see the hilarity and see the humor, and it's an experience when you're making that connection. That's what makes it awesome. So I like that. That was a good word for all of us, just to not get into the comparison game. I think we can do that in just about any arena.
Absolutely.
Professionally. So I like that word a lot. There's a lot of famous comedians out there. And if you could pick one that you could take to dinner, who would you pick and where would you take them?
Well, you already mentioned Nate Bargatze, and I think he would be mine.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know where we would go. I think I would go someplace that has chicken fingers.
Okay.
I like chicken fingers. So right. I don't know that I'd even ask him where he wants to go. I would just, you know, go where I want to go. So
it's Chick-fil-A, Nate.
You know, Chick-fil-A is fine. Yeah, but I mean, he's definitely been one that I have watched because his writing is so good anyways. Mm-hmm. But also his energy, like you already mentioned, like he, you know, his energy is not high. And so seeing his journey and where he's gotten himself to by being exactly who he is encouraging to me. Because a lot of times you do see people on Netflix that are very energetic and, you know, act out a lot of things or, you know, maybe do voices or whatever. And they're, so to see somebody who's more coming from where I come from is encouraging. So I would, I'd love just to have a cup of coffee with him and just chat a little bit.
Chat about life and comedy. Yeah. He branded himself really well too, out of the gate with the Tennessee Kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vibe. So you guys share that as well. Some good branding right out of the gate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hope you get to take him out for chicken fingers one day then.
You know, I mean, he's got to answer my email sometime, right? I mean, you send enough of them.
One of these days, or hear this podcast, I'll be like, I have got to go get chicken fingers with Paul Schneider. What am I doing with my life? That's what he's going to be thinking.
He's wasted so much time.
I know.
Yeah.
He hasn't lived yet. Until he's gotten chicken fingers with Paul Schneider is what I'm
thinking.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great. On your comic submission to us at X2, the fun fact you listed was that you finally learned to solve a Rubik's Cube at 47. What inspired you to finally get this done?
We were giving the Rubik's Cube to my youngest son for Christmas. And he wanted to learn to solve it. So together we watched a series of YouTube videos. And so I was like, well, he's going to learn it. I'm going to learn it. So we both learned how to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Wow.
I mean, it was weird because the Rubik's Cube was big when I was growing up and then it kind of came back around for him and I never learned. Well, we didn't have YouTube either. I don't know how people learn how to figure anything out.
I don't know. Yeah. Pre-YouTube. So, I don't even know what happened.
Well, yeah. So we did it. We did it. It took us a couple weeks, but we learned the patterns and we could do it.
How much time were you spending on this per day?
I mean, a little bit.
A little bit?
I don't want to.
You didn't give up your life for 2 weeks to get the cube done. Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to say too much, but we spent a fair amount of time.
So, you want to divulge all your secrets, do you?
It was an appropriate amount of time to learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube.
And you're going to leave it at that.
That's all I'm going to say.
Was this the
one of us may have been quicker learner than the other. So. Not going to say who was faster and who was slower, but
okay,
one of us got more frustrated than the other.
Okay, one of us. Okay, yeah. And you're not maybe it was Dad.
Maybe it was.
Maybe it was. Was this the younger one or the older one?
Yeah, it was the younger one. Yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, Rubik's Cube got got big in elementary school, and people started bringing them and having, you know, at lunch competing who could do it the fastest and stuff. I was never about fast. I just wanted to learn how to do it.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah.
So now is it collecting dust? The Rubik's
Cube? It is. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, I did it.
Hey, check that off the list. We're done with it.
I did it. You can twist it all up. I'll do it again. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be fast at it. So
I think I've solved it once.
I see these kids on YouTube that are, you know, they're juggling them and doing it. And I'm like, I need quiet, complete quiet, and at least 5 minutes.
Oh, so, 5 minutes.
Yeah, at least 5 minutes to get it done.
Minimum. Yeah. That's great. What do you have other hobbies besides the one time Rubik's Cube adventure?
I don't know about how, I mean, I like to run. I run a lot.
Oh, okay.
And so that's where I don't know. I run to get away from people, obviously. After being at work, I like to go home, and then I like to go out by myself and run. I'll use that time, like if I'm trying to learn some new material, you know, I'll use that time then, or sometimes just to brainstorm new material, or sometimes just to listen to music and just not do anything but to run. So,
what kind of music are you into?
When I'm running, I listen to anything with a good rhythm, very upbeat.
Okay.
Very upbeat. So it's not the time to go emo or indie music for sure. I need something that's very energetic.
Are you a long distance runner? You do marathons or 10Ks? Mm-hmm. Marathons. Yeah. Okay.
Just go for the whole thing.
Done the Boston or anything cool like that?
No, Boston, you have to be really fast to qualify for. So thanks for reminding me that I'm not fast enough for Boston. That's nice. I have not.
Okay. So how many marathons? I mean, go ahead.
If I'm not fast enough to do the Rubik's Cube, I'm not fast enough to qualify for Boston. So.
Yeah. Speed transfers speed, to all
speed
hobbies.
Speed transfers to everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How many marathons have you done?
I think I've done 7 now. I think I've done 7.
All right, cool. Is that a tattoo I see on your forearm?
I do.
What is that tattoo? What is it?
This one is mountains, and it says "Be still." And then I have one on the other arm that says "keep running." So apparently I can't decide which one of those to do. Keep running or be still. They seem to be completely at odds with one another, but it made sense in my head. In my head, it makes complete sense.
That's awesome. So, they be exposed at the show here in Virginia? Will the audience member see them?
It depends on how cold it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll see. We'll be inside, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. If I get really nervous and sweaty, I definitely roll my sleeves up, try to cool off.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. So you're saying there could be a tattoo sighting.
There could be a sighting. Yeah. Could be.
Well, this has been so fun. As we wrap up here, Paul, can you share with the laughers how they can follow you on social media or otherwise?
Yeah, the best place is on Instagram at Introvert Comedy.
Excellent.
And then on Facebook, I'm just my normal name. So just
Paul Schneider.
However you try to spell Snyder, you might find me. Yeah, just depends.
Just depends. Well, yeah. Laughers, will be sure to put his information in the show notes so you can look him up. And you can see Paul perform at X2 Comedy Night, December 11th, hosted by Friendly City Dance Room in Harrisonburg. Enjoy an hour comedy show with Mr. and Mrs. Claus in the audience to watch hilarious comedians, including yours truly, JMU Professor Chris Womack, Paul Snyder, who you've heard today from Charlotte, North Carolina, JMU's new improv troupe, who will be doing holiday-themed short improv games with suggestions from the audience. Then you can opt to stay after with Mr. and Mrs. Claus, where you can join them for a dance lesson to learn Kazumba, taught by Philip Pusaro, owner and dance instructor. Kazumba is a form of dance originated from Africa. We'll be sure to put that event info in the show notes as well, and we will see you there. Thanks for being on today, Paul. You have been fantastic.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun. Had a great time.
So good. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.